good time to call to order the Thomas Gervais Park and Recs Committee meeting. Okay, roll call, please.
Roll call's been taken. Let the record show all members are present.
Outstanding. This is time for public comments. Looks like we have no public comments today. I'm kidding. We have an audience public comments. Barbara, would you like to come up in? Does I have your card here? Oh, is there an order that you guys want to do?
There seems to be an order.
There. Okay, hey, I'm good with it. It's fine.
How's it going?
This is cool here.
Yeah, just as the president of the Discovery Bay Pickleball Club, just wanted to reintroduce, trying really to get more people playing, especially on a Saturday, without a lot of waiting. So the overcrowded courts, so what we're doing is requesting painted lines on back two tennis courts. So we could bring in temporary tennis courts, especially on those days that it's really busy. Barbara's going to give some, everybody else here is just here to support basically that basic permission. And I also wanted to pass this out to you guys. And it shows examples and diagrams on what they would look like, especially on the last page. I've got actually a glossary copy of that. On the last page, it shows our painted court, or our tape court, I should say, when we do the tournaments. This is just a nicer copy of that. And with these lines, they're orange and they're bright, but the painted lines would be the same family color of the blue that the tennis courts have. So I'll just leave this up there, too. And so it would be more of a blended in, so it wouldn't be such a distraction for the tennis players. I think the biggest point that I wanted to make was that if the tennis courts are full, tennis has priority every time. And it's not like we're taking tennis courts away, we're just dual purposing them. And so people will still be able to play tennis on those courts. And the biggest problem is on the first Saturday of every month, we have a new player clinic that usually takes up a couple of courts. And we have as many people, 50, 60 people there, the wait time is just a lot. And it's a lot to ask our members to wait that long and play a game that takes 15, 20 minutes, wait 45, play another one. So we're just trying to get those tennis courts so we could, have more people playing. And it's really, I would say, Saturdays is predominantly the biggest day, and then it's the first Saturday of the month. So it's not an everyday type thing, but we know that if they're painted, we could just wheel out the temporary courts, have a couple of extra games, and take the pressure, the playing pressure, definitely off the permanent courts. So that's basically what I just wanted to mention. And again, on the back page is the same as that diagram. It's kind of an aerial view of what it would look like. And specifically, if it's two courts, this has two tennis courts. If it's two tennis courts, one tennis court, I don't think that's the point now. It's just we need additional pickleball courts. Just, and again, because the number of players that are playing pickleball compared to the tennis, it's just, without giving you an exact number, I would say at least probably closer to 10 to 1. So,
Chris, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, Chris Sullivan.
So we don't want to make this about tennis versus pickleball. We just kind of want to work together. I kind of want to tell you a little bit about what I've experienced, and this is across the United States. Me and my husband have traveled extensively in our motor home. We use an app. It's called Places to Play. And basically, I can find out wherever I want to play pickleball anywhere. And we've been to... Our first trip was 7 months with 14 states, 14,000 miles, and our last trip was a year with 17 states with about 27,000 miles. And that's all the way from Sturgis, South Dakota, to the Florida Keys. I mean, we played in Key West. But it's not uncommon to see pickleball lines on tennis courts. We saw it everywhere. Indoor courts especially. Not everybody plays outdoors across the United States. The weather doesn't permit it. I just recently was in Houston 2 weeks ago, and played in an indoor court that was a basketball court, had three pickleball courts on it with pickleball lines. And so that's confusing when you have, you know, basketball lines and pickleball lines, but somehow people figure out and manage with that. Also recently, I actually have a handout here about who has dual-purpose pickleball courts. So I think there's more to your committee than just you two sitting here.
It's just us two.
Okay. We were recently at College of the Redwoods, and we saw on our app that we could play there, but we couldn't figure out where it was at. We finally could ask somebody, but sure enough, they had more like a shadow line. It wasn't real specific, but they had put pickleball courts on one court on each side of the net. They had them all outlined. Of course, the pickleball players have to bring their own temporary nets. They had the exact position where the net was supposed to go. And it wasn't obtrusive, and I wish we could have printed that out for you. But if you'd like to see it, I did post the video on our Discovery Bay Pickleball Club Facebook page, which is a public page. So I have the video on there about how nicely it's done, so it's not obtrusive to the tennis players. So basically, that's all I really wanted to say about it. I know we used to play over at Cornell Park, and we put down the lines over there, and it doesn't seem like it. I mean, I can actually tell you. I thought this whole thing was about resurfacing. Oh, I'm sorry. Is my time up?
Yeah, a little red light.
Okay. Oh, fine.
Make sure they'll give a copy to Monica, though.
Okay. Thank you.
Terry, you want to come up? Or Dennis? Yeah.
Hi, Terry Chi. Thank you for letting me speak. I currently represent the United States Pickleball Association, and I am your new ambassador for Discovery Bay. I was a transplant from San Mateo County, and I moved out here 3 years ago, and then I got my district assignment to move out here. So if you have any questions about pickleball, the association at the national level, I'm the one to contact. Just to give you some real quick numbers, pickleball grew in 2021 to 4.8 million players in the United States. And this is according to the Sports and Fitness Industry Association, which is a separate organization that's nationwide that keeps track of all sporting participants in all sports. Let's see, let's get some breakdown. 14.8% growth from 2020 to 2021. And it follows the heels of the 21.3% growth from the previous year. Of the 4.8 million total participants, 3.5 million were casual players who play 1 to 7 times a year. 4 million were core players who play 8 or more times a year, while the number of core participants did not grow from 2020 to 2021. 60% of the total participants are men, 40% are women, with the slightly faster rate of growth among women. The average age for all players continues to drop from 38.1 years old in 2021 to a decrease of 2.9 years from 2022. So the average age of the core players is 47.9 years old, and the casual players are 34 years old. As you know, you may have heard that this is the fastest growing sport in America. It is. I don't know if you've heard that they had a small tournament at it's not Pac-12 Park anymore. It's AT&T Park or whatever. They ran a tournament there. MLP is the Major League Pickleball. You're getting investors from LeBron James. You're getting Tim Tebow, that just some of these celebrities that are getting into the sport. They just opened an indoor facility called The Hub in Alameda, and this is the second one in the Bay Area. The first one was in Sunnyvale. So you get to see that this sport is growing so fast, and it's really good for young players as well as senior players, and it's the one sport that is all-inclusive. If you have, I mean, we have club members that they get to play with their children and compete in the tournaments together. So that allows us to bring more people into the play. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Dennis, you want to support?
Sure. Hey, Dennis Allen. I'm the pickleball instructor here at Discovery Bay Community Center now, and I just wanted to talk about it a little bit. Everybody's talking about the dual-purpose lines. There are some cities in the Bay Area that have embraced the pickleball craze. Walnut Concord, one of them, had 14 tennis courts, took 7 of the tennis courts, turned them into all 14 pickleball courts. I would like to see eventually, right now we're supporting this dual purpose, but I would like to see us get 2 more tennis courts converted over to pickleball courts in the future. Maybe that's a year from now, maybe that's 2 years from now. Then everybody would have the same landscape, because I've heard the argument, well, they got 6, we got 6. If we were to get 2 more, they would have the landscape of 4, and we would have the landscape of 4 tennis-sized courts, and we could do with it, we could put 6 more pickleball courts on. So eventually I'd like to see that. Friday morning I was out here at 9 o'clock Friday morning this past week, and all 6 of the courts were full. Just so you're, I know you guys do numbers every day, they go out and they check the numbers, and you've got the data that shows the pickleball courts are being fully utilized just about every day. And when you go out and you look at the same time frame and there's nobody on the tennis courts, it just makes sense to put the dual purpose, make them dual purpose so we can throw some temporary nets on them. I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Do we have any other public comments? Kelly, anyone online?
No one online.
Well, appreciate you guys coming out here. Obviously, you know that this item is not on tonight's agenda, so there's very little we can do. I don't have a problem putting this on a future agenda item as long as Director Callahan is in agreement.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's worth investigating further, getting all the details.
We'd like to see some data. I don't how easy you can be able to produce something, but maybe the next city can show how much the utilization is on both the tennis and pickleball. I don't know if the winter time coming up is going to skew those numbers, but
if you have data that goes back across summer as well, that'd be helpful. I know that it's not apples to apples because I know that the pickleball has been ramping up, but it would be interesting to see the tennis utilization during the summer months.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
So if there's no other public comments, we will close the public comments and move to draft or motion to again motion to approve the draft minutes from last meeting.
Yeah, a motion to approve.
I think that was tough. All right, do we have any presentations?
Thanks, guys.
Then we'll go to updates. Scary Bay Boulevard refresh. So.
And then going to the west side, a little more difficult.
Still like to keep the kind of the role planting concept with ornamental trees. Seeing that it is the corridor of our town, though, I still want to keep the dryscape theme, but I just want to add a little more color to the landscape. So whether that's instead of the flowing pattern being rocks and boulders, maybe it's colorful ground cover. So those types of ideas. The ground cover treatment on either side, well, on the east side would definitely be set in some type of mortar so things aren't falling from the boulevards or side of the travel road. On the third page, there's just some vignettes, just thoughts. This is on the left side would be kind of an isometric view of what plantings might look like. The benefit of having a couple rows of ornamental trees is as you come down the slope, it'll still block the wall. It's not very aesthetic. And there is an issue with, and we're seeing this on Clipper, with the edge treatment of the sidewalk where kids can either ride their bikes or their mini bikes or what have you up and through the landscape and such. So some type of treatment to mitigate that. And these are just ideas, so free-flowing talk.
Well, out of curiosity, so is your thought that this would be the next project that you'd want to take on, or?
So this would definitely be, because it's outsourced.
I'm talking about, right, whether it's you or an outsourced project, is this the next major project that you're trying to get accomplished in?
I guess we can talk about that.
At one point we talked about the islands that was supposed to be in the country. Right. So I don't know if you're proposing this to be in front of that or behind that or.
I think being it that it is our entrance to the town, maybe it should take precedence. Also, the front entrance needs a refresh too. So
that I agree with.
Yeah.
How do the crepe myrtles here produce? So I had crepe myrtles in Texas.
Yeah.
They were beautiful 2 months, and then it was 10 months of they look like dead trees.
They do pretty well. There's a series of them on the east side of the boulevard that look pretty nice still. They've been in, maybe 10 or 15 years. We have a few in on the islands in Oran Po that seem to be doing well still. They're just a nice form and a nice canopy, and when you treat them well, they are.
Yeah, and when they flower, I mean, they're gorgeous, but
yeah.
I didn't know how, I didn't realize we had them out here. I haven't paid attention. No, I just didn't identify as crepe myrtles.
Yeah.
But I was curious about that, because I know that in Texas, it was only in the spring, and spring is not really a thing in Texas, but so out here, do you get a longer flowering cycle?
Slightly. One thing we could consider is to alternate. It's really the pattern I'm more concerned about,
okay,
more than the species. So we could alternate or we can have continuing color throughout the season.
Because the most beautiful time to come down the boulevard, listen to me getting all emotional, is when those, I don't know what they're called, the low line.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When those things do those purples,
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, man, I know.
It's amazing. Yeah. It doesn't do it long enough.
It doesn't.
So I don't know what you had to get to talk to them. I don't know if you had to give a raise. I don't know what you have to do. But I agree with the color.
Yeah.
We need the
color. That type of concept, just more staggered, so there's some type of color throughout the season.
So is this at the same level as the Clipper Drive as far as an expenditure project, or?
Yes, depending on the treatment of the sidewalk, too. I don't know. I mean, you could go an 8-inch little mini wall, you could just do a little bit bigger boulders. But then it's simple.
And that removes the bark.
That removes the bark.
I'm just concerned about where the finance would come for this. We're kind of spending money fast and furious, and
I think we would have to do it as a phased.
Well, so.
Yeah. We would have to do it as a phased approach, so that we're not, overextending ourselves. So we would like to eventually have the town of Discovery Bay kind of a uniform theme, but it will take a lot of time to get there.
Sure.
So.
I mean, I'm agreeing. I'd love to see something move forward. I just don't know if timing wise, this is something that we should be talking about at this point. Especially until the Clipper Drive project is. We talk about Clipper Drive, is that okay?
If you're going to wrap it into this subject
matter. I have to wrap it in. Well, you brought up how you would do things a little bit differently than you did on Clipper Drive. So, are you able to go back and fix some of those, especially the patterns developing with the kids and the bicycles, where they're cutting across? And we can fix that easily. I think just even putting pavers in, say, okay, fine, this is where you want to go.
Right.
Let's, here you go.
Right.
And then blocking off other areas with rocks and boulders.
Yeah, we talked about that actually today, as a matter of fact. I brought up that same, very same.
Well, Alan's constantly tapping into my brain, trying to take my thoughts at that time. I like that. Steals my thunder.
I appreciate that you did exactly what we had asked. You threw something out there, figure out how to make it happen, but getting creative, coming up with a good concept. So I do appreciate the work and effort that was going into this, because I like the idea.
And it's not all lost, right? I mean, when you think about concepts, right? So we do the island first. Well, we're going to incorporate some of these ideas. So. It's not an exercise in futility. No,
I get that. And I would be the first to say, let's move forward. I just don't know what our finances look like with what Monica's going to be proposing, finishing up on the Clipper Drive, you know, whatever things that we have in there, still have to do.
So we brought just a design concept to you, if you like it. So what we can do next is set up a phased approach and maybe put some dollars with it so that you can really see how long it'll take, how much it's going to cost, how we're going to start it. So we just wanted to start with this, say, okay, after Clipper Drive's done, what's the next piece that we're going to start trying to morph into a dryscape type of
concept? Yeah, I love it. I mean, if you guys can come back with, and here's how we can pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you're thinking through the phased approach, like I'm telling you how to do your job, you clearly know more about this stuff than I do. But I think it's very important for the public that we always do things in a way that when you break something into phases, I do this a lot in my job. 90% of my work, you have no clue that I've done anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last 10% is like,
yeah.
So as you come through the phases, if there's a way to make it so that as the phases progress, there are visual representations of the amount of work that have gone into that phase.
Yeah.
I think that's really important.
Well,
okay. All right, so then we will work on this, and we'll work on doing a phasing plan, putting some dollars with it. I don't know if it'll be ready for the next park and rec, but it will be coming to a future one. So we'll start working on that. So, okay.
Well, let's not forget about the Willow Lake Island.
Yes, well, that one's
been, yeah. Well, I think that's got a lot of possibility to it. And, some ideas were thrown out a couple years ago or last year.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the Discovery Point line, those actually need to be taken care of because those are still turf. And technically, we can't have turf there. So, there's a lot.
I think that the homes on Discovery Island, I think that's their private dog walking sanctuary over there. So, that's going to be a rude awakening when you go in there and do something.
Yeah.
Dogs like dryscape.
Well, we're trying to keep the dogs off the dryscape, I think.
They don't like dryscape.
No. All right.
But
yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing this.
Okay.
Nice.
Any public comments?
Another one.
I look forward to Cornell Park Factories.
Okay.
Remind me later.
Okay.
So, in the agenda, I had attached the quote from Delta Fence, and basically what I asked them to do was secure the bathrooms to stop people from getting inside and vandalizing the inside. Very similar to what happened to our toilets recently, and graffiti as well. The quote there is for $26,810. That's for the two bathrooms. That's putting in screen or fence on the top so people can't climb in there, raising the actual gate so people can't climb over it is easy, and also putting some material on it that people can't get their feet in those holes to climb in. And looking at this, it seems costly. So I contacted the alarm company that we use as our vendor throughout Discovery Bay, and having them out and look at our site. They weren't able to actually come and look at it via Google Earth. We're able to see it. The unfortunate part is that bathroom has electricity but doesn't have Wi-Fi. So if we were to try to put in a camera system, we'd have to run the conduit from there someplace within the park that overshoots the basketball courts and in the bathroom. But we would not be able to view those cameras or collect data from those cameras unless we would go to that bathroom, open up that door where the DVR would be, and download from there. So there may be an option where they're able to see if they can get it to our location at the district office. Our vendor doesn't think that's a possibility, but he's still checking. But if that does, it's going to be costly because you have monthly data fees, which should be costly in itself. The other issue that we looked at was the cameras that we have at some different places in Discovery Bay is the flock cameras. Let's discuss that with the general manager. Unfortunately, right now, those are $2,500 a year. It's a recurring cost every year. And they're not necessarily made to capture people. They're more to capture vehicles. And usually the vehicles that are going there are golf carts that are not license plates anyways. So we're still trying to look at options. I'm reaching out to some different towns, cities, to see if they have some ideas for us. But right now, that's the update.
Okay, but certainly, one last question. So but this option does solve the problem, though, correct?
Well, it solves the problem in the sense that it would be much harder for them to get into the bathrooms when they're locked. It's not going to stop the external graffiti on the outside of the building. It's not going to stop the damage inside if the park is rented out, the barbecue structure, and we open up the bathroom, everything can still be vandalized then. But we believe that this would definitely help the situation.
Any other questions?
When the security company looked at options for data, did they look at all options, including wireless phones back runs back to a tower that might have connectivity that we could piggyback off of, things like that?
That's what my salesperson is dealing with, this tech person.
Okay.
So see if we can get that extent. Get that answer.
Okay.
He did tell me that those options are costly, and you have monthly charges and those sorts of things. But
depending, fixed point wireless, it might be a little more expensive as a initial investment, but then there's no recurring cost because you own it. So there's things that you can do that way. There might be options of the data going to these DVRs is not. The recordings are high definition, but the viewing of them remotely doesn't have to be. So you have the ability to do things like a simple hotspot that's integrated in that could, a small recurring charge that might be better in the long term. So there's lots of different options. Maybe we push back a little bit on them for other data options.
They're at the point now where they are trying to give me some options, but
cool.
He's not going to be able to talk to his tech until Monday.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's a lot of options around that. I think that I think it needs to be a full approach. It needs to be security plus monitoring.
Yeah, to me, the monitoring is only a portion of it, and I don't. And to me, we would not only be concerned about monitoring the bathrooms, but the whole park. Right? Would that also be part of the monitoring?
I envision the camera capturing the basketball courts, the basketball court,
sure.
And the bathroom, and it would probably get some of the play structure at a distance. But it wouldn't capture the bathrooms the bathrooms on the other side of the park. This would just be
unless we have multiple cameras.
Right.
Correct. Well, I think the fencing is the step one of securing that bathroom. I'm of the opinion that we should move forward with it. We're revamping Cornell Park. This could be part of the revamping process and the district security. I don't know if the bathroom did any painting or something to screw it up a little bit nicer. But once we put the fencing in,
yeah, I agree. I think we need to take it to the board for the fencing, but then follow up with the security monitoring. Because I think it's more than just a monitoring of a bathroom. I think the holistic approach of monitoring all of the assets at the park, I think, is pretty important.
Can I clarify with you? This is just the fencing for one bathroom right now, right?
No, this
or
is
this for both?
This is for the two bathrooms.
Okay, great.
I mean, it's a lot, but it's not.
You just
a lot.
Cut it in half. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So is that something we can bring to the board tonight then?
You can mention it tonight, but we can't bring it to the board for approval tonight.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
But definitely get it on the agenda.
Yeah, we can put it on the next meeting agenda. Yes.
I think it makes sense. We'll just have to be responsible for locking and unlocking it, of course. There's no point adding security if we don't lock it up and when it's out of office, or park hours. Correct.
Right. So right now the bathrooms are open on the other side.
24/7.
24/7.
Great, that's a problem too though. Should we not be locking them up when the park is closed?
In an ideal world, yes. But again, that's another task the staff would have to do.
I understand that, but if the bathroom is getting vandalized, and one of the reasons it's getting vandalized is not being secured, then...
Yeah, typically our vandalism is recurring on weekends and
kids when they're
Fridays, Saturdays.
When they're unlocked.
Yeah.
I get it, it's going to be a cost factor, but I don't know how to get around that. I mean, otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that needs to be part of the proposal or not. That's a town decision on...
Yeah.
How do you staff for these additional duties, which I think we both understand that there's extra responsibilities and that does cost extra, town resources. But to Brian's point, Director Coteau's point, it's very important to utilize the security that we put in place.
So, okay. I see both those items.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Discussion. Possible feedback from our community center bathrooms. Speaking of bathrooms.
Excuse me. So sorry. So as you've heard and saw, we've been very fortunate that the community center is growing in popularity. Between the pool and our new wall ball and tennis and pickleball and the dog park and flick and float and all kinds of good stuff. The bathrooms, we felt, we wanted to bring to your attention and open that up for discussion here. The two larger designated men's and women's restrooms did go through kind of a modest freshening up back in 2013 when the town first acquired the property and they were moving this from the private athletic club to the community center, but that was 10 years ago. And I've attached some pictures for you to kind of take a look at the condition of them right now. Currently, each bathroom has one stall, one sink, and two showers. Not really configured the way we feel would be utilized the best for the needs of everybody that's using the grounds. So we did put together a drawing there, a plan for your consideration to kind of open it up for discussion, see what you think about the idea of changing the configuration and updating those very old restrooms. Two stalls, two sinks, and one shower. So there's a little diagram in there. One idea, I'm sure there's plenty, but that's one that we had come up with. And then again, the pictures of what it currently looks like. One shower in the ladies' room doesn't work at all. They leak, they drip, they're kind of a mess. We've have them sanitized over and over again. Actually sanitized, not cleaned. There's a difference, but it only does so much. So just really wanted to kind of start the conversation and see what you think about this possibility of updating and upgrading the bathrooms here.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's a wonderful idea, and it's well needed. The men's bathroom, though, was there any thought about putting urinals in as well, and then just the toilets?
We could. That's one of those things. If we want to bring it, you know, one step further, yeah, we can certainly.
I would imagine there's probably some guideline about the number of toilets and urinals they want to have based on the number of usage of people. So we might want to look at that.
Well. And that would be if we went further, we would want to get somebody that's like.
How does it affect? So, are you able to do a bathroom remodel without having to make other changes to the building?
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know, but this is just the design. So, if you want us to move forward, we will bring all those details back. So, a financing plan, what it'll cost, what they'll look like. We have to find somebody to do the design and architecture for us.
This was an old
design from when we were doing the pool. So, we just brought that back to see us as a visual if you'd like to move this direction. So.
Yeah, just to open it up for discussion, see what you think of the, do we even want to go any further with?
But now you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the usage of this building has gone exponential, so we need to keep up with that usage and have enough facilities in place.
Well, and the bathrooms were already very old in 2013. Like I said, when I say they were lightly freshened up, I'm really meaning, I mean, that some paint was put on and a new toilet, and I think flooring. The showers are original. The everything was the and new
lockers.
So it really was a. They're actually much older than 10 years old. Yeah. Really, they need a lot of work.
We just wanted to see if the committee is thinking about us wanting to look into this before we do a deep dive. So if you like it, then we will start doing
that.
A deep dive and we'll get it all put together.
Okay. I'm 100% support that. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, I think that concludes it then. We have the future agenda item, the pickleball folks and the tennis folks.
Yeah.
With that, 507, we adjourn.